friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel filling in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Today's show looks ahead at the weekend of sports to come with contributions from Samson Omale in Nigeria, looking at some notable sports news in Africa, and my colleague Gwen Uten checking in on some preparations for the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo. We'll also have a chat with Washington Post sports reporter Jean Wong, who has been following the FIBA Women's World Cup tournament going on this week in Tenerife, Spain. But first off, we'll keep with the theme of the week, and that's golf. This morning, the Ryder Cup began in earnest at Le Golf National in Paris, France. Team USA was taking on Team Europe in the season's last big event. The USA team finished the morning session by winning 3 of the 4 points on offer in the best ball competition. The USA won the day's first 3 pairings, with American combos Tony Finau and Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler, and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth all defeating their European rivals. However, the man of the week, Tiger Woods, in his pairing with Patrick Reed, was not able to overcome the play of British Open champion Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood, and the USA moved into the afternoon session with just a 3-1 advantage. Woods will not be playing in the afternoon session, which at the moment looks as if it might be a sweep by the Europeans, which would put the USA behind 5-3 heading into Saturday's play. In the afternoon, the combination of savvy veteran Sergio Garcia and Alex Noren was leading the way for the Europeans against Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau. Noren, who, as you might remember, played in an epic 6-hole playoff with Jason Day back in late January at the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego, California. That tournament finished in a 3-way tie, and 2 players remained tied after 5 playoff holes. So Day and Noren had to return on a Monday morning to decide the tournament, which was won by Day. Some might say that tournament signaled the return to form of Tiger Woods, who finished tied for 23rd, but shot under par for 2 of the 4 rounds. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. When we return on the show, we'll be joined by Samson Omale, who wraps up the week in African sports for us. But first, this.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Oh.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're joined now by Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria, who has this look at the reaction to the Nigerian women's basketball team making it to the quarterfinals of the FIBA World Cup in Spain. the results of a report on doping in Kenyan athletics, and Team Ghana's preparations for the Youth Olympic Games in Argentina. Welcome, Samson.
We begin in Spain, where the 2018 Women Basketball World Cup is currently ongoing. Nigeria women's national basketball team, the Tigres, are on the verge of creating history when they step out later today in the quarterfinal clash with reigning champions and red-hot favorites, USA. The Tigres defeated European powerhouse Turkey to get their first win. They not only followed it up with a success against Argentina, they made it a Euro double by pipping Greece 57-56 in a dramatic quarterfinal qualification encounter. Some of the players are really excited at the achievements so far.
It feels amazing. I mean, this is a position that we have not been in before, so it's like something new, but something that we've been trying to welcome since we started this journey in Atlanta in training camp. So it feels amazing. It's new territory, but we feel like we belong.
Any opportunity that I had in the court, I went there and I contribute to the team. And, you know, as a veteran and leader, you just got to keep on playing. You're not playing for yourself alone. You're playing for the team and you're playing for the country.
In athletics news, the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, on Thursday said a 21-month investigation into suspicions of widespread doping in Kenya had found no evidence of institutionalized drug taking. WADA said in a report launched in Nairobi that the doping practices of Kenyan athletes are unsophisticated, opportunistic and uncoordinated, and there is no evidence of an institutionalized system. Gather Younger is WADA's Director of Intelligence and Investigation.
We couldn't find any hints or proof that there's institutionalized doping here in Kenya. We could identify, as of August 2018, 138 athletes have been positive tested, and the prevalent substances are nandrolone and EPO.
Staying with athletics news, Team Ghana to this year's Youth Olympic Games will depart Ghana for Argentina tomorrow. Ghana will compete in athletics, beach volley, weightlifting and swimming. Solomon Dafoe, one of the athletes to the games, is hoping to win gold for his country.
There's more pressure on me because there's a few days I'm getting so many calls. But if you go, what will you bring you to Ghana? So I know that, and I hope all the training I'm doing and I'm continuing doing, I know that I'll win the medal. All the three medals, I know that I'll not lose one. I'll bring one to home.
In football news, the local organizing committee of the 2018 Africa Women's Championship to be hosted in Ghana will unveil the mascot for the tournament later today. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson, for that report. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. As you may already know, the USA defeated Nigeria earlier today in Spain. The final score was 71-40. Team USA, as it has been most of the tournament, was led by Brianna Stewart with 19 points. Tina Charles led all rebounders with 15, and veteran guard Sue Bird had 5 assists. The game started off slowly for the USA, however, as the Americans trailed 17-9 after the first quarter. The rest of the game was a different story, especially the second and fourth quarters, as the Americans outscored Nigeria 43-11 in those frames. Neka Ogwumike, who we heard from on yesterday's show, contributed 6 points and 3 rebounds. Azine Kalu and Evelyn Akhtahor each had 8 points for Nigeria. Sarah Imovbio had 9 rebounds. The Americans await the winner of Belgium and France in one semifinal, and Australia will play the winner of Canada and Spain in the other semifinal. We're joined now by Washington Post sports reporter Gene Wong, who's been following the women's tournament so far. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. So, Gene, looking at the box score of today's game between the U.S. and Nigeria, Nigeria got off to a quick start, as I mentioned, before eventually losing by 30 points. Can you tell our listeners about the gap between the two teams and what Nigeria needs to do if they're going to close the gap and potentially become not just a top eight team, but a team that could play in the semifinals someday?
Sure. Well, they've certainly gone a long way toward closing that gap. I mean, the U.S. is the gold standard in the world in women's basketball because they have six Olympians on this team. They have proven veterans, obviously, and young superstars like Breanna Stewart, for example. But, you know, Nigeria has a couple players who played college basketball in the United States. You know, Promise Amukamara, she was a guard at Arizona State. And as you mentioned earlier, Evelyn Akator, she played center at Kentucky. She was the number three pick in the WNBA draft last year. So they're doing exactly what they need to do, getting players who have experience playing at the highest level of college basketball in the United States, playing against players like Elena Deladon and Breanna Stewart, Jewel Lloyd, et cetera, who are on the U.S. women's team. That is the way you get better. You play against the best. And doing that in the U.S., you know, you go against these players sometimes for 4 years, and you have no choice but to improve your game if you want to compete with the other best players in the world, quite frankly. So Nigeria's taken the right steps toward trying to close that gap even more. But the U.S. is always going to be just leaps and bounds ahead of the world, just because from the grassroots level, the United States emphasizes basketball at such an early age.
So, Gene, looking at the rest of the tournament, we know Australia has always been a strong team in the world, and they defeated China today without much trouble. Sure. We're waiting to see who the other semifinalists will be. So is there a team in the field that could knock off the Americans? And if that were to happen, how would they do it?
Well, certainly the one team that you would look at is Australia because of one player, Liz Cambage. She scored 53 points this season in the WNBA. She is one of the best players in the world. She finished second in the MVP voting this year behind Breanna Stewart in the WNBA. So she can single-handedly take over a game. And if that's what it will take her, basically a 50-point effort, you would have to imagine for Australia to have a chance of knocking off the U.S. But other than that, it does not look like there's anyone else you could say, yeah, I may give them a fighting chance. But Australia would be the team.
We're joined live on the Sunny Side of Sports by Gene Wong of The Washington Post. Gene has been following the Women's Basketball World Cup going on this week in Tenerife, Spain. So Gene, we were together watching the USA team play its exhibition match just down the street at George Washington University. And the players were talking about how they just had a condensed training camp leading into the tournament in late August and early September. And even then, they didn't have their full team as some of the players were still in the WNBA playoffs. So how close is the U.S. team to playing at their full capacity right now? Or is there still room for improvement?
There's still completely room for improvement because you consider some of these countries have been playing together. Their national teams have been playing together since the spring, since April. So they've had a long time together. As you mentioned, the WNBA playoffs, precluded some players, including Breanna Stewart, Sue Bird, the starting point guard, Elena Deladon from the Mystics, from joining Team USA until late in the process. So that, in part, explains why they can get off to slow starts, for example, trailing Nigeria 17-9, because they don't have that cohesion just yet. They're kind of learning on the fly, but there's so much talent on that roster that it's easier for a team like USA to gel quickly than maybe other teams. But yes, there is room for improvement. Also on the injury front, Brittany Griner has had an ankle injury. She finally came back and is looking like the Brittany Griner that is an MVP-level player in the WNBA. And then Elena Deladon suffered a bone bruise in the WNBA playoffs. She has not been 100%, but I believe it was in the third game of the tournament against Latvia. She went 8-for-10 shooting. So, I mean, she's working her way back to full health. So, yeah, they have room for improvement both on the cohesion side and on the injury side.
So for the coach, Dawn Staley, what is she trying to do at this point? I mean, obviously the team wants to go in and win the games, win the tournament. But if they're playing in a game where they are obviously taking control late in the game, is she also trying to get some of the younger players some international experience looking ahead to, you know, 2 years from now in Tokyo, for example?
Absolutely right, because this Team USA has been for so long the faces of Team USA have been Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, you know, Lindsay Whalen, who's has since retired from the WNBA, not on Team USA this year, but they've had a lot of players who have been around for a long time, won multiple gold medals. This is kind of almost a transitional phase for Team USA. So obviously you have Breonna Stewart, who is the next great star. Elena Deledon, who's in her late 20s. She's going to be, you know, on Team USA for certainly the next two Olympics, maybe three, who knows. But right now they're trying, Don Staley is trying to find who the next great group of players is going to be. Number one is going to be finding a point guard to replace Sue Bird, who has been so great for so many years. That's always been a big project, even when Gino Auriemma was coaching Team USA, to find the next great point guard who's going to run the offense. And maybe Jewel Lloyd, we don't know. But certainly she's a candidate, and this is kind of almost a trial run for the Olympics in 2 years to see what the team is going to look like beyond even the next Olympics for the next two or three Olympics.
So, Gene, how about a friend of the Sunny Side of Sports, Nneka Ogwumike? As I mentioned in my recap of today's game, she's been contributing a little bit off the bench. How's this tournament gone for her?
It's gone great. She's been averaging in double figures scoring-wise, 6 rebounds a game. And she's another one of those younger players. She's not that young anymore, but she's definitely going to be on the next two Olympic teams. She's a former MVP in the WNBA, certainly one of the best players in the world. And what she brings is a ton of energy. And she is, her motor's always running. And that's why she's such a great rebounder, because she has that desire to get loose balls, to dive on the floor. It comes from her Stanford background, playing for Coach Tara Vanderveer. That's what she instills in her players. And Nneka is a perfect example of that. And certainly she's going to be one of the faces of this team going forward.
We're talking with Gene Wong of the Washington Post here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dan Friedel in this week for Sunny. Gene has been following the Women's Basketball World Cup going on this week in Spain. So let our listeners know a little bit about what the life is like for these international level women's basketball players. Of course, we have about 2 years, a little bit less than 2 years to go until the Summer Olympic Games of 2020 in Tokyo, but that's a long time. So what's next after the World Cup for these players? You know, a number of them will be in the WNBA, but that season doesn't begin again until next spring. So
correct.
Pick out a couple of players and let us know what they'll be up to over the winter.
Well, a lot of these players are going to be playing internationally in countries like Russia, like China, Australia, because the salaries that they generate over there much higher than what they make in the WNBA. So the WNBA is, you know, 30 games, 34 games. It's very compressed. It's a very compressed season. So it's basically a year-round deal for many of these players. Now, some of them, like Dana Taurasi, she made headlines a few years ago because she sat out the WNBA season because to play in Russia, which was paying her a lot more money. That was her number one concern at the time. But she came back, and obviously is the Dana Taurasi of old, the greatest player of all time, arguably. So, but, you know, Brittany Griner, Maya Moore, players like Elena Deledon is even talking about playing internationally. She has not played internationally yet. She's preferred to stay stateside and work on her game that way and rest for the WNBA. But she's expressed some interest in playing internationally because that obviously helps you develop when you are playing international tournaments, for example, like the FIBA Women's World Cup or the Olympics. You're playing year-round, obviously, that's good for your game. So it's a delicate balance for some of these players to decide whether they want to go international or rest up for the WNBA season. So, yeah, that's kind of the next step for some of these players. They're going to go overseas. But some of them may not and decide, you know what, I want to get ready for the WNBA season and be fully charged for that. So it's unlike the NBA, where obviously it's just what they do in the United States, apart from the Olympics and that kind of thing. But very different schedules between the players in the WNBA and the NBA.
Well, thanks so much, Gene. We're just talking with Gene Wong from the Washington Post, who's been following the FIBA Women's World Cup tournament in Tenerife, Spain. Thanks so much for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports, Gene.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music, balance it. Like to stay on top of new music trends? Breakout artists? New releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Earlier this week, my colleague Gwen Uten joined us with a report on a panel discussion about the intersection of sports and human rights that was part of the 50th anniversary of the 1968 Mexico City Olympic Games. Well, Gwen is back today with a report on another event in Mexico City that's also part of the 50th anniversary celebration. IOC President Thomas Bach was on hand to speak about the upcoming Tokyo Games in 2020 and how the city is preparing and how the organizing committee is working to make the Olympics clean for all athletes who are competing. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. On Thursday, Thomas Bach, the International Olympic Committee president, announced that independent anti-doping agencies will be put in place to ensure a clean 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games.
From the Games in Tokyo, we make the whole anti-doping system independent from the IOC. That means that all the testing programs will be managed by the International Testing Agency, and they will do so in full independence from the IOC. In this way, avoiding even the perception of a conflict of interest.
Bach made the announcement in Mexico City, where he celebrated the 50th anniversary of the 1968 Summer Olympics. The new measure is expected to combat scandals that have plagued the Olympic Games in recent years. In 2016, the World Anti-Doping Agency found that, over a five-year period, more than 1,000 Russian athletes tested positive for doping and hid the results. More than 100 Russian athletes were banned from competing in the Rio Summer Olympics that year. Bach believes the new sanction agencies will help prevent further conspiracies and eliminate any allegations of political bias. Bach also addressed fears surrounding the recent string of natural disasters that have hit Japan. The most powerful typhoon in a quarter century struck the nation earlier this month. Then 2 days later, a deadly earthquake in northern Japan triggered a series of landslides across the region. And throughout the summer, Japan suffered through record-breaking heat, torrential rains, and major flooding. Bach said the IOC is currently working with local authorities to guarantee the safety of the athletes and spectators should a disaster take place during the Tokyo Games.
We also know that with regard to earthquakes, that Tokyo is a very safe city, given that the construction and the technology and the experience of Japanese people. So there we have full confidence in the Japanese authorities.
Tokyo, Japan is set to host the largest number of sporting events in Olympics history, and it all kicks off on July 24th, 2020. That's all from me, and that ends the week. Have a good weekend, Dan.
Thanks, Gwen. Glad to have you as part of the show, as usual. And that wraps up the September 28th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Workinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and I'll be back next week. That's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Next up, what's behind the Trump administration's proposals to reduce legal immigration and the number of refugees to the United States? We'll ask a former commissioner of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, Doris Meissner, now senior fellow at the Migration Policy Institute. That's Press Conference USA, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa presents a message in the public interest from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control.
Many Ebola patients who are treated in hospital will survive and recover. Ebola is a serious disease, but when people have recovered, the doctors test them, and when the disease is all gone, they are discharged. The discharged patients cannot transmit Ebola. The virus has left their bodies, and they cannot pass Ebola to anyone. Not their children, their other family members, people sitting next to them in the taxi or bus. Partners, however, must abstain or always use a condom for sex for 3 months after discharge from the health center. And remember, with the right information and together with our healthcare workers, we can protect ourselves from Ebola.
That was a message in the public interest from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, brought to you by VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, can Africa win the war on corruption? The African Union has declared 2018 the African Year of Anti-Corruption, charting a battle plan to win the fight against corruption on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge. This one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News.